What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, a newly energized William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Charles Michler, back from a wonderful weekend in Seattle.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. We come at you 5 days a week. We try to bring the energy. I got to apologize yesterday. There was some complaints about the yawning.
People were heated, man.
That's my bad. I had a very heavy Korean meal before, and I was starting to get a little tired. The All-Star game, it's too exciting. It takes it out of me.
It won't happen. No, it was funny. People were coming at you on Twitter, and I was like, damn, people are really upset about this.
But anyways, we got a heck of a high-energy show lined up for you today.
Woo!
It's Twitter Tuesday. Every single Monday, we send out questions on Twitter, but don't even wait for us. If you got a question, just go ahead and shoot that bad boy over to @LockedOnClips, @WillUpdike, @CharlesMochler. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to answer your question on the show, on air.
We get a bunch of them. We kind of a slow one this week because it was All-Star break, so hey, gonna be a good time.
We're also in the midst of a slow week. We got about four more days by the time you're hearing this until there's some new basketball,
and it's a matinee game.
If you got a wild question burning in your Twitter fingers, wherever questions burn, go ahead and shoot that over. So as I said, we're gonna be kicking things off with some Twitter Tuesday, and then we got some even more Twitter Tuesday, and then possible shamings. We're gonna take a look at some possible buyout candidates, and I touched on it briefly yesterday, but want to bring in Chuck for his thoughts on a possible Evan Turner buyout. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Yes. So welcome to Twitter Tuesday again. Thank you for the questions. A couple people want to know if Will got caffeine. We're drinking beverages right now. It's gonna be good.
Caffeine, amphetamine.
Welcome to Locked On, fueled by ketamine. So we're entering this like dulled. I got to watch the All-Star game in Seattle with my family. That was fun, but like, man, we're in the
fine All-Star game. We haven't you and I haven't talked about it yet. That was the best.
Love the rules change.
That's like the best one I've maybe ever seen, at least that comes to mind.
Other than that one where AI was going super hard. I can't remember what year that was, but no, it was great. I love the rule change. It worked out. It was confusing at first because they worded it.
I still didn't understand it.
But it was great. People were playing hard. Shout out to Kawhi. Actually, speaking of the All-Star game, our first question comes from Graydon Square. He asks, and this is kind of a nice proverbial one, if you have a tradition that you do after the situation, let us know too. What do you guys do after the Clippers lose a game they should have won? Graydon says he usually pouts and doesn't watch the next game. However, his pouting literally cost him a chance to watch Kawhi Leonard All-Star game MVP performance, so he might have to rethink that strategy.
That's fair.
What do you do after we lose a game they're supposed to win?
I'm just giving myself lashings, you know?
Yeah.
ton of lashings. I got a couple old willow branches.
We're cutting our own switches over here on Locked On Clips. It's funny because, like, so for us, like, I'm really happy. We used to record, like, if it's an away game that we lose, we used to record, like, kind of right after the game would happen.
Yeah.
And that was not good for where my headspace would be.
Yeah.
Because you're just dwelling kind
of. Now we record, what, like 20 minutes after?
Yeah. Now we take a little time to freak out on Twitter. And then, because less people see the Twitter than hear the episodes. But no, I usually have like a 10-minute period where I'm like furious at the team. Or like as a whole, like not the team, like they should have played hard or something, but like, in the grand scheme of things, I get furious, and then I'm like, all right, like, still. Then the rationality comes in of, like, injuries, continuity.
Totally. And I think that it's maybe almost flipping to the opposite thing for me.
Oh.
Like, I think it's been a lot of the season now that I'm like, you know, like, X is out, continuity, And now it's like, dude, there's, like, 30 games left. There's not even 30 games left. Like, I'm worried about these injuries now. I'm nervous about them. I'm worried about these lingering, recurring injuries. Continuity. I mean, we're getting pretty damn close to it. What you see is what you get in terms of continuity.
I think it was UK Clipper, but like he called it a couple weeks ago. Just like one of the players is going to have to get used to this not continuity being the only continuity that we have.
Yeah, yeah. And I asked Doc about that early in the season. Like, how do you get the other guys ready, you know, like maybe not the top three names,
like the Pattersons,
to understand, but to be able to just fluid around that and be able to go,
To just go. I do tend to, I eat a lot more carnitas, pastor burritos after we lose, is a behavior I've noticed in myself. I'm like, well, we lost. I'm going to go get a passport burrito. Forget about this. But that's a good question. Let us know what you do. Graydon usually pouts seemingly for like a whole day, which seems, I mean, good for Graydon. If you can get a good sulk in, kudos to you. Tony, very active Twitter user, shout out Tony, wants to know, between Lou, Paul George, Kawhi, and now Morris, do they get a bit jump shot heavy? It looks great when they hit them, but the stagnation on offense shows when they don't get to the bucket and the ISO jump shots don't fall. This goes well into a Dominic Cole submitted question. He wants to know if Doc is incorporating Morris well. Feels like he's maybe relegating him to just a spot of three-point shooter. Dominic thinks he could be more than that with Paul George in and out of the lineup. I really like that Morris question.
All right, so I mean, these are two different things. I guess I'm inclined to address the second question first, just because it's a little bit shorter. I think that the Morris thing is still a work in progress. I do think, and part of it is just because of the way that Morris plays, but he is so active that I think that he's integral in getting that ball moving. So I think that while plays may start with him kind of like on the outside of the perimeter, he's really fast to grab an offensive board, kick the ball out, and then we've seen him even run back out to get the pass off his own board. So I think that it's very much just still a work in progress. I was worried initially that he might be relegated to the spot-up role, but I think if that's what Doc wanted, he would have just put JaMychal in the starting lineup, to be perfectly honest.
For sure.
If he was looking for somebody to just kind of fill in that role.
I like what he says at the end of, like, do you think he can do more with Paul George in and out of the rotation? Mm-hmm. If Paul George is going to be in and out of the rotation like this for...
Looks like mostly out.
For the foreseeable future, it's going to be interesting to see what Doc does with Morris's minutes when Kawhi's off the floor.
Yeah.
Because then you have to... Because, like Morris and Lou on the floor together, that's fun, like, to think about. That's a couple pretty potent
pick
shooters.
And roll with Morris and Lou, or like, there's a lot of options.
And like, there's an option out of the pick and roll, so I'm excited about that. The Tony point, this is what, like, I love his, like, it looks great when they're hitting him, because like when Paul George first came back, it looked great, and then when Sarge aren't going in, it was like, oh wait, he should be driving to the basket more. How come he's not doing that?
Definitely.
It's such a fine balance with the stickiness, because Morris is part of the stickiness, maybe. He hasn't really been. There's only been a couple instances in the games where it's like, maybe dish that one off next time.
Yeah, which is going to be an adjustment period for him, not being, you know,
the number one guy on a terrible team.
Yeah, a bigger option.
How did they get the... Do we just need to call more specific sets early from Doc? Is that what... Not a script, you know, not like a set first three possessions or something like that, obviously.
I think, I mean, honestly, it's just going to depend on who is in the starting lineup at the guard positions. Because I think without
that's made
Pat,
it really damn hard, and that's made it hard for Morris too.
Yeah, because I think without Pat in that lineup, it gets a little bit more difficult to run some actions for people. I'm not saying that the opportunity isn't there, but like
Doc doesn't have the confidence.
You have a lot more forwards with ball handling duties, and I think in those scenarios, you as a scoring forward get a little bit of tunnel vision.
Yeah, the tunnel vision is something that I feel like that's a hot term for this team right now.
Yeah.
And when the ball is sticky, is the pick and roll tunnel vision and stuff like that. So I don't know how that gets fixed.
It gets fixed by having a guard.
I mean, it's hard to argue with that logic right there. Blatzis, Balatzis, asks, is a closing lineup of Bev, Sham, Kawhi, Paul George, and Morris/Green viable? Great word at the end of this question. Doc believes in the Morris at the five more.
Yeah, I don't think that
I love this closing lineup.
See Green in it, but yeah, I think this is totally viable. I think that
for defensive, like if we're in a game where we're up by like seven, I love this closing lineup.
Yeah, I mean, even to a certain degree, coming back from a deficit, we've seen Lou sometimes get pulled in those closing minutes when, you know, you got to get a stop.
Yeah.
When you can't
seed the lane or cuts.
Yeah.
But this is basically just the starting lineup with like Morris at the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this is what I kind of, part of me thinks maybe the lineup, the starting lineup, we could maybe even see it in the playoffs.
Oh, you think they would start Morris at the five?
Maybe, yeah. I think if the lineup's there. We saw Doc get pretty crazy with the Jermichael at the five. Compared to what it is now.
Yeah. But wasn't the matchup that was like later though, wasn't it? I mean, like wasn't that was later in that playoff series, I feel like.
I think it was game two.
Started seeing it. Oh, was it? Okay.
It was game two or game three, but
yeah, I thought it was game three or later.
Because with how much he apparently doesn't like Jermichael at the five this year, I'm like, oh, what are we gonna see in the playoffs with Morris at the five?
Totally.
Because going small could help this team, especially with like we don't know what Trez's minutes load's gonna look like by the time the playoffs get here.
Yeah.
That guy's going to need some rest at some point. I got a question about Trez's fitness, but I'll do it after this. Ad, coming up after this, we got more Twitter Tuesday. But first, Will, can you tell me about your favorite workout recovery tool?
Of course. So, look, if you heard me on yesterday, you know the stress of daily life weighs on us all.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular person trying to do a podcast, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing. That's why I use Theragun, the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power.
Kawhi uses one too. All the Clippers do.
I recently got an office massage. Not a weird thing. Not from my boss or anything like that. It was, dude,
bro. I was gone on Friday and Monday. You got to tell me what happened at work.
It was by an actual massage therapist who the company hired. But they hit my shoulders with that Theragun, and it was like it's loosened them up in a way that they don't normally do.
Will's been doing windmills this whole podcast. He's wearing a fob mic.
What's great about Theragun is you can feel better naturally. Just treat your pain, get back to your life, and you can try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to Theragun.com. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. And for a limited time, the listeners of this podcast will get a free charging stand with purchase, which
is
a $79 value. Pretty sick. So that's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon.
All right, now that we've Theragunned ourselves into some good health.
I'm a pile of jello over here, buddy.
More Twitter Tuesdays. I had a question about, because I asked this on Twitter. It was kind of in the replies with someone who we were talking about the Trez Zoo situation. At some point, we are going to have to rest Trez before the playoffs, right?
No.
Like, that might be the answer in Doc's head, but like we literally, and no hyperbole, this sounds hyperbolic, but like seriously, if you think about the minutes loads and the stretches he plays, we have to.
No, if we can get one of the two persisting injured guys off that injury list, I think that we will see, even if it isn't, you know, fan favorite Zoo, in those fourth quarter minutes, we will see Morris for at least a stretch.
Because it's like, dude, I'm just looking at these minutes.
Until it gets either played off the floor or works really well.
Yeah. Because I'm just looking at these minute stretches and it's just like, dude, he can't keep, like, it would be historically the most impressive endurance run for a bench player.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it'd be up there.
Unreal.
It'd be unreal, man.
Unreal. But I think that was part of the logic in bringing in somebody like Morris instead of a traditional big.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, you get the similar type of energy. You just get more shooting and you know, a little bit better like handling than either Zoo or Trez, really.
Because what freaks me out is like Trez doesn't get this rest, and then, you know, he's taking minutes against like some third string center sometimes, and mm-hmm. those guys aren't going to play in playoffs. So all the other guys are getting more rest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So they're not having to bang around against lesser guys who are not going to see in the playoffs. So.
Oh, totally. And we I mean, it almost seems like it's happening with more and more frequency where we see Trez hit the deck or we see Trez grab
so hard
or grab an ankle.
He's rolled his ankle like three times this year.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a durable guy and, you know, don't really have any concerns there, but there is still a limit for everybody.
Yeah, there's just like a line at some point. You're like, dude.
But I think that was honestly part of the rationale in getting Morris is that's somebody that for whatever reason, you know, like nothing from us personally against Zubats, but for whatever reason, that's somebody that Doc feels like he can trust in those kind of stretches.
At Shamit for three wants to know if Jermichael might get a start at the five in a playoff series.
No.
I think Morris is the new Jermichael in that.
Yeah.
In Doc's situation.
Yeah. I don't see that unless we're like under catastrophic injuries, which, hey, the way things are going, who knows?
Who knows? I hope he does, though. Jermichael, like, he's had such a... I don't want to say I feel bad for him, but like his rotation and usage has been so odd this...
It's been really puzzling. And not that he hasn't still been good and not that he isn't still valued. I'm just surprised that he was kind of willing to take what I think was probably a lower
He took
offer.
A pay cut.
Yeah, than what he could have gotten somewhere else, especially just after how he ended his season with the Clippers.
Yeah.
You know how recency bias works. I mean, you can get a better contract.
And it's weird. If you look at his stats, he averaged 8.7 with us last year. He's at 6.4 this year. So he's, you know, one more three a game and he's at his same averages. But I mean,
but the attempts are down, the minutes are down.
So here's the thing: the 3-point attempts are up.
Oh wow! Okay,
which I didn't realize. It's 3.3 to 3.7, so it's basically the same.
Gotcha. Okay.
But he's almost hitting four. He's 41% last year, 35% this year.
Gotcha. And that's been real up and down.
Yeah, that's been an up and down situation. He's shooting. Yeah, it's just the rebounds are pretty much the same. I don't know. The usage is just so odd. It's. Yeah. I think it's being out there more so with...
I'm surprised that his attempts are so similar, just because to the eye test, it seems to me like he's getting less attempts, and he's getting less...
He's averaging almost... Looks. He's averaging 1.5 less 2-point attempts.
Okay.
So the threes are the same.
Yeah.
But I think just being on that, when he has to play, it's with Lou and Trez, and like that's not the best recipe for someone like Jermichael, really.
Yeah.
He was crushing it when he was with the starters, or that situation, but... Yeah, I hope it gets figured out. I don't think it will. I think it's Morris's time to shine in this scenario. And, you know, I've liked it so far.
Yeah, totally.
It's been good. CJ Ram Clip says he can't think of any questions anymore. He just wants a nice home game win streak. Heard that, dude.
Leave when I see it.
I mean, I will too. Our schedule post the All-Star break. We go home to the Kings, home to the Grizzlies, away to the Suns. So... theoretically, on paper, we could see maybe a nice three-banger coming up.
Yeah, and then we got the Lakers at home after that?
Let me check. I don't think so. I think things get kind of tough. We go Nuggets away,
Are you saying the Lakers aren't tough?
No, they're fine. We go Nuggets away.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we go Nuggets away to the 76ers. Away to the Thunder, away to the Rockets.
We play the
home to the Clippers.
We play the Sixers twice on their home court this year?
Mm-hmm.
That's absurd.
Sorry, they're home. It's home to the 76ers.
Okay.
That would be crazy.
I was going to say, what? They're both in Philadelphia? That makes no damn sense.
So after that Kings, Grizzlies, Suns run, it's a really hard five-game stretch. It's Nuggets, 76ers, Thunder, Rockets, Lakers.
Oh, that'll take it out of you.
It's going to be that's going to be big. God, that Nuggets game is huge. I think someone asked us last week if the games against the Nuggets are like the most important seeding wise from here on out. And it's like, I mean,
seeding,
you might be right.
Definitely.
I had a question.
All right, what do you got?
Positive Chuck here. Did the team have a contingency plan in place for this many key guys being hurt?
Hell no.
And I'm not saying they should have.
No.
I don't mean that in an accusatory way, but like, this is brutal. Having the two and three most important guys out, and you can put them in whatever order you want, but I don't know if you can have a contingency plan for something like this.
Two starters? I don't know. I mean, like, I think we're handling it as best we possibly can,
I
man.
Know.
Holding down the third spot in the West, I mean, that's difficult.
And the lack of the activity in the buyout market makes me think, like, they were like, well, shit, like, maybe they didn't do as much buyout candidate research or whatever. Not saying they should have, because you think with all our guys and think some players would have been better than others, which we're going to talk about in the next segment in terms of buyout candidates.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's, ugh. And you, I mean, Windhorst, you were telling me the depressing things Windhorst was saying about.
Oh yeah, Bev. Well, it was brought up that, you know, with Patrick Beverley being a smaller guard, this sort of like I mean, like almost hip related injuries are pretty much going to happen.
Groin, hip area.
Yeah, groin, adductor, like hamstring around, like, you know, the, all that kind of stuff. Around your leg core.
Oh man! Wow, you learned. Wow, that massage therapist really taught you a bunch of stuff too.
You know, like those are going to be nagging injuries probably for the rest of like Patrick Beverley's career. At 32 years old, 31.
Yeah, we gotta get some stuff done this year for him, if you know what I mean. Gotta get him that ring.
Gotta get him that new hip.
Fuck, I hope not. Coming after this, we're going to be talking some buyout candidates, wondering if there's any guys who might get bought out who could be better than some players on the team right now. But first, I was just in Seattle, but I would like to go to the complete opposite of Seattle. So this spring, I want to follow my favorite baseball team to Arizona.
Hell yeah, you are.
Cactus League spring training, bunch of nice brews, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona's the perfect home base for baseball fans. Get it? Follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams. One of them may have been the dirty, cheating Astros. 75-degree temperatures with all 10 stadiums in greater Phoenix within 50 miles of where you are. And you can meet the players and get autographs before games. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby. There's tons of craft breweries, Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, Goldwater Brewing Company. You can also enjoy live music from local and national artists at those breweries. If you want, you can check out a museum, get some knowledge, then maybe go to the breweries again. And Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes, thrilling outdoor adventures, plus the breweries. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, quirky outposts, breweries, hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking a sunset at a nice brewery. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like Tucson. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. One more time, that is visitarizona.com/springtraining.
All right, welcome to Shavings.
Are we going to sign anybody? Not do we want to. Are we actually going to sign anybody?
I'd be kind of surprised if we didn't.
It feels like the best candidates are off the table.
For buyout.
Damari Carroll was someone who people talked about on Twitter as wanting. I was kind of on that train for a couple of days. He got snatched up by the Rockets, him and Jeff Green.
Yeah. I didn't really want Jeff Green fitting. I don't really see either one of those guys really fitting a need as much as maybe some other buyout candidates.
Oh, Jeff Green, not at all. But Damari Carroll was someone who I'm like, I don't know, we maybe need that third actual center.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really see it.
Tyler Johnson.
Johnson, I think, makes sense with the Bev and PG injury. He's not like a phenomenal passer or anything. But
or shooter.
Or a shooter. But, you know, like, this would be maybe, like, the most minimal role he's really had to play.
Yeah. Yeah. We would hope.
Honestly. So, that's another one. I talked a little bit yesterday on the podcast about the Evan Turner thing. Kind of where I landed about it was, like, I wasn't, like, necessarily jumping out of my seat for it. But, you know, with the open roster spots, if he does get bought out, I don't see him harming the team in any way. Wait, do you have any thoughts on Evan Turner?
Don't see him harming. I have no thoughts on Evan Turner, which is why I'm like everyone on Twitter.
He was really good for the Blazers in that playoff series against the Nuggets.
Sure. But this year, it just hasn't really been there.
I mean, he hasn't played a lot of games. He was on an Atlanta team that, like...
Yeah, they're not there. He wasn't in the plans or whatever.
Yeah, he wasn't really in the plans at all.
I guess I'd want a guy who's maybe been getting a few more reps in. Because if he's going to come in and, like, get these spot starts or whatever the hell is going to happen with our lineup and everything...
I don't see that.
I just want someone who's not going to have to, like, adjust, which I know is kind of what we talk about, what's so hard for buyout guys to come in and be like, all right, now be efficient.
I think my thing for Evan Turner is, like, he just has to be better than Rodney Magruder.
That's what I was talking about that last segment. And when you put it like that, I'm like, sure, try it. Like,
he just has to be able to back up Lou Will a little bit on defense. And I'm assuming with the injuries, Shamet would move into the starting role. Or stay in the starting role, rather.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he would be coming off the bench. I mean, obviously, he'd be coming off the bench. I don't know. You said spot starts. I don't think he's getting any starting minutes unless things are really dire.
Which they're close to.
Which they are close to. But, yeah, like, he just has to be better than Rodney Magruder, which
Doesn't seem too difficult right now.
I don't think that that would be too hard.
You floated an interesting name out here for the point guard situation, given Bev's injury woes, concerns. But he was in the skills comp. He lost immediately, which was fine. I'd rather have that than go to the second round.
Yeah.
Dellavedova.
Matthew Dellavedova.
Is he even a buyout candidate, or is he a free agent?
He's still on. I mean, he still plays for the Cavs, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So
he hasn't been bought out yet, to my knowledge.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting pairing.
Yeah. I like, he's a guy whose like defense has been overrated.
He had a good playoff series.
He got overpaid.
People love dickhead point guards.
Yeah.
If you're an Australian dickhead and you play basketball, people love you.
I mean that
in the nice way. I mean dickhead in the nicest way possible as a dickhead.
He plays hard. He does have playoff experience.
I think the playoff experience thing, I'm like, I don't care if anyone has playoff experience. We have a two-time
But, like, he had
MVP.
Playoff experience when they didn't have Kyrie Irving, so, like, he played a lot of reps.
Yeah, that's true.
I see what you mean, though. Yeah. Like, it's not necessarily indicative of anything. I don't know. Once again, if all you're asking him to do is be better than Rodney Magruder, do you think he's incapable of that?
No.
Okay.
I don't. That, I mean, if we're at the Magruder line right now for buyout candidates, guards.
Isn't that the line?
For guards, I think it is the Magruder line. I think you're 100% right. Dully's only getting 12 and a half minutes a game. He's averaging 2.6 points.
Per 36 numbers are good. It's like 9-3-9.
His per 36. I mean, it would be interesting. I'm not sure if they buy him out, though. I don't know how buyout, like, everyone's talking about, like, buy. Like, there's rumors people are going to get bought out, all this other weird stuff. Tristan Thompson apparently isn't going to get bought out.
Which makes sense.
That makes sense. He's really the one guy. And Reggie Jackson also doesn't seem like he's getting bought out. I'm going to double check the news right now, so I might just end up contradicting myself. But, like, if they haven't bought him out at this point, I don't think they're buying him out.
See, like, the incentive for them to buy him out. I think I said that before, too, but
I guess they just get. Yeah, I don't know. There you go. Reggie Jackson reports he might be looking for a buyout. I haven't thought about it. I don't know who said that. Tight. Well, so that's definitely not going to happen, it doesn't seem like. And then Tristan Thompson, like, I'd like him for a center if he were to get bought out, but he's not getting bought out.
Yeah, I think with Morris, it kind of, I don't know.
So that leads me to believe, like, I don't think we're going to sign anybody. Smash cut to a Woj bomb right after we publish this episode, but
now, I mean,
we're not working out Noah. Like,
I don't
his
think
dad
that looking,
lied to
I just
us a
don't
couple
think that
months
we're
ago.
Looking at a center anymore. I think that, like, they're hoping that, like, Morris is going to be able to play the small ball center a little bit, and that obviously Zoo and Trez are going to be able to pick up everything else. I don't know why they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be most just looking at how slim the guard rotation can look. I would be pretty surprised if we didn't
not
use
a guard.
One roster spot on an extra guard.
Is it wild that Evan Turner still rostered on a team and then worked out for us?
I mean, the Timberwolves are going to buy him out.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's like such a weird situation. Like, go work out for this team.
Do it.
Evan.
Like, do it.
Anything else in shavings? Lou Will had a party over the weekend, which seemed like it was probably a good time.
Hell yeah.
I was not invited again. Shocked.
Hurt.
Hurt. Anything else kicking around in there?
Nah, man. The All-Star game, like, way to go, Kawhi.
Shout out to Kawhi. I'm so happy you got that MVP. Half the All-Star game's fun again.
Yeah. Would you say that the All-Star MVP means more than a regular season MVP, which means more than a Finals MVP? Where do you rank the three of those?
Regular season MVP, two, Finals MVP, one, All-Star MVP, I don't know.
Distant third.
Because, like, you know, Iggy has that Finals MVP, which is dope.
I know, it's hard.
Because I like it because, like, you can just get those guys who hit that run.
Yeah, it's like,
it's like how the Super Bowl MVP stupidly always goes with the quarterback.
Yeah.
When, like James White, I'm not a Pats fan, but one year James White, like, broke the record for the most points scored in a touchdown and, like, didn't get the award. So, like, I like the Finals MVP in basketball is cool because I feel like they kind of, like, they're like, oh, this guy had a great run. Let's give him the MVP.
I think you have to be better for a longer period of time, obviously, to get the regular season MVP.
Oh, of course.
But I got to agree with you, man. I think the Finals MVP is more important to me.
And this is not, I'm sure someone's going to listen to this and be like, wow, you guys must not really think Steph's good then because of his finals.
No.
MVP. No, not at all. Like, yeah, not at all.
That's not what I'm saying.
And I don't. I would never use a finals MVP as an argument against a bad player, or against a good player either.
Totally.
Like, I'd never be like, he's never won a finals MVP. I'm like, well, dude, some people just have a killer ass series.
Yeah.
And you need that. Man, it'd be so sweet if Kawhi got. Kawhi and Michael are the only players to have, I think, DPOY, All-Star MVP, Finals MVP, regular season MVP.
Nice.
Hey, not bad company. That about wraps it up.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging. We're going to be back on Wednesday talking about, hey, who knows, some fun stuff. We're going to have a What You Say Wednesday poll on Twitter. You can vote on that. That's going to be out there. Thanks for having me back. Glad to be back on the show. You know, yeah. It was a tough weekend. Hope everyone's getting through the All-Star break well. We're going to hopefully have an update on Paul George and Bev's injuries. Course,
I doubt it, man.
I doubt it. I'm gonna hang out outside the training facility holding the boombox, playing Dr. Green Thumb, trying to get some answers. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us iTunes, Deezer, Spotify,
Google Pods,
iGoogle Pods. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll read your review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you again for hanging out.
Search us on DuckDuckGo. See if we're there.
Yeah. Let us know how our DuckDuckGo SEO is. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Update. Appreciate you.